Mini episode 522 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Modern Midwest Maven, a lifestyle lookbook covering clothing, shoes, accessories, and all aspects of the fashion world. Follow them on the web at modernmidwestmaven.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to mini episode 522 of the FDH Lounge. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with the FantasyDraftHelp.com early top 25 for fantasy football in 2015. We'll start with the list and deliver some overall notes about the different positions at the end. Number 25, Jimmy Graham. He had a disappointing 2014, although he still managed 10 touchdowns, and he's still the only tight end on the planet with the potential to even come close to Gronk's production. Number 24, DeMarco Murray. It's extremely rare when a consensus first-round pick manages to exceed his draft position with a career year, but is still worth much less the year afterward. But 392 carries are going to leave a mark, both next year and likely for the rest of his career. Knowing that they probably wouldn't re-sign him, Dallas just flat-out ran him into the ground. And if he doesn't have their dominant offensive line in front of him next year, that's one less thing to like. Number 23, Justin Forsett. He also may end up in a different place next year for economic reasons, which is the reason that they are atop the second tier of the position rather than remaining on the top level. If he can stay put, his lack of track record as a top back is less of a concern than Murray's accumulation of city miles. Number 22, Andrew Luck. Fortunately, he only faces New England once next year. At a quarterback position deeper than it has been at the top level for the last year or two, even potentially without Peyton Manning, he has already ascended to this point. Number 21, Golden Tate. Liberated from the run-heavy Seattle offense, there was reason to suppose that his numbers would go up in Detroit, but his spike, even without Megatron drawing away coverage for part of the season, and Eric Ebron surprisingly being a non-entity in his rookie season, was impressive and indicative that he belongs on the top tier of receivers. Number 20, Marshawn Lynch. To a certain extent, the reason for his placement on the list mirrors Murray's, although the biggest concern is his physical running style rather than his volume of carries, although they are substantial. Plus, like Murray, he may get priced out of his present situation in the offseason, which would certainly drop his value, and there's still a tiny chance that he may retire. Number 19, Randall Cobb. He's the latest wideout to grab the torch as best number two in the league, who puts up numbers like a number one in an elite offense. Number 18, Aaron Rodgers. Spoiler alert, he's the top quarterback on the list. With the depth of top-level fantasy passers right now, even the best of the best don't offer the separation at the position of top running backs and wide receivers, hence the positioning of the game's most skilled QB in the late teens. Number 17, Jordy Nelson. Now the most valuable fantasy asset in the Green Bay passing game, he has become as dominant a lead receiver as the Packers have had in their modern history. Number 16, Julio Jones. Aside from being a bit light on touchdowns, he had an excellent season in what was supposed to be something of a recovery year from his foot injuries. Number 15, A.J. Green. Even in a year hobbled by injuries, his numbers look decent on paper. They should be much better in reality in 2015. Number 14, Demaryius Thomas. He remains as explosive as any receiver in the game and should still be on the upward trajectory of his career, but the Peyton Manning uncertainty knocks him out of the first round. Number 13, Jeremy Hill. For a back that didn't assume the lead role until well into the season, his production was unbelievable. Gio Bernard is always going to be a threat to cut into his production, but based on how it went down the stretch, Hill's going to get his. Number 12, Rob Gronkowski. Because he towers so far above the other tight ends, he'd be at least a borderline top five pick if his health were less in question. Number 11, Dez Bryant. This ranking assumes that he'll stay in Dallas, and if he does, he'll have the potential of even exceeding last year's numbers. Number 10, Calvin Johnson. Like A.J. Green, he's coming off a disappointing injury-plagued season. But with several contenders for his crown as best wide receiver in the game now looming, he should be playing with the biggest chip on his shoulder ever. Number 9, Jamaal Charles. He's starting to put on the mileage, and his yardage numbers were drastically down from what we've come to expect. But with Nile Davis there to help extend his prime years, he's not done yet. Number 8, Odell Beckham. He's one of the most difficult players to slot in years. Based on his late season production, he'd be a real candidate to be a rare wideout in the top spot overall. But if you worry about teams getting a chance to adjust to him with film study in the offseason, then maybe he should be much lower. Ultimately, since none of his prime play came with Victor Cruz in the lineup, having to force defenses to play him honest, that should mitigate other fears. Number 7, Arian Foster. He demonstrated in 2014 that he's still at the top of his game. Number 6, LeSean McCoy. Even in a down year, he was still third in the league in rushing yardage, albeit the production was not at all consistent. Number 5, Antonio Brown. The top receiver on our board not only led the league in receptions and yardage, but he caught 71% of the passes that came his way. Number 4, C.J. Anderson. He was hands down the best of the post-Noshon Moreno running backs, and he's going to be a vital part of the transition to the team's new offense, however it will look. Number 3, Eddie Lacy. In his second year in the league, his receiving yards took a step forward, making him a true all-around threat. Number 2, Matt Forte. In a down year for the Chicago offense, he still managed 1,846 yards from scrimmage. Number 1, Le'Veon Bell. Of the running backs delivering elite production in 2014, he is the best bet for a repeat performance. Overall, there are more non-running backs that are first-round worthy than usual, but the catch is that there are no quarterbacks in there because the top tier is deep and not separated by much. No, it's Gronk and the top wide receivers that poke into the first round to a good degree, and for that matter, the top tier of wideouts is slightly longer than the highest level of running backs. Next year, more than ever, you don't want to be caught at the wrong end of a run on running backs in the first round, because if you reach there, you'll be missing out on the kind of explosiveness that you'll need to be even remotely competitive. Thanks for tuning in to this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.